All right, we'll say good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is Samech Gimel. We are picking up Emirat Hashem. So 63, we are picking up 62b, Samech Beis, Amud Beis, Amar Abaye, four lines up from the bottom. So a lot to do, I will say. So says the Gemara, Amar Abaye, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, Rabbi Meir, Kulu Sfirale, Adam Makne Dover Shebali Olam. So we'll remember again, we're in the midst of the interesting sugya about whether or not a person can be makne a davar shel bal yolam. Can you go ahead and stipulate and go ahead and make agreements and make tenoim regarding something that is not yet in existence? Regarding something that's not yet in existence. So we already saw in the Mishnah that this was the topic of machlokis between Rabbi Meir, and between Rabbi Hanina ben Gamliel. So Rabbi Meir is saying that you can do it. Rabbi Hanina ben Gamliel is saying you can't do it. We saw Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov as well. So the Gemara says the following. So Abba Abaye says, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, Rabbi for Rabbi Meir, everyone agrees, Adam makne davar shel bal yolam. Everyone agrees that a person could go ahead and stipulate regarding something that is not yet in existence. It says the Gemara, we're going to go through each of these shitos. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov had the Amran. So what's Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov we spoke about yesterday? Fine. Rabbi, where do we learn about Rabbi? Disanya, top of Samech Gimel, 63a. Lo saskir eved el adonav. So listen to this. So the pasuk says, you shall not return a slave to his master. Now, Bipashtus, what this pasuk is talking about over here is that if an Eved Kenani goes ahead and runs away. Now the nature of this, runs away to Eretz Yisrael. The point is, runs away from his Gentile master, whatever the scope of the mitzvah is, the idea is that you're not supposed to return an Eved Kenani to his master. Rashi says over here, Lo Saskir, Azhar le Beis Din, Shalo Yaskiruhu le Bailov, Lishtabid Bo. So it's a warning to Beis Din that Beis Din should not go ahead and return the servant to his master in order that his master could go ahead and enslave him. Rabbi Omer, so Rabbi says, what's the case of Rabbi Osai? Listen to this. Belo Keach Eved, Amanas le Shachrara Kosov Medaber. So Rabbi says, the case that the Torah is talking about is one purchases an Eved on the condition to emancipate him upon his purchase. So the Gemara says over here, so we'll say, what does this mean? Take a look at Rashi. Belokeach Eved Amanas le Shachrara, Di'i b'shichrara uba l'shtabid bo, lo kari le'eved. So we'll say, so says Rabbi, what's the pasuk talking about? If you purchase an Eved on the condition to emancipate him, you can't renege on that agreement. Right? Why? Because that will be in violation of the pasuk, lo saskir eved el adonav. Don't go ahead and return a servant to his master. Meaning you purchased him on the condition that you're going to emancipate him. For you then to go ahead and renege on that agreement does what? Is returning a slave to his master. And that you cannot do. But I will say, what's the chap over here? The chap over here is you're purchasing him on the condition ultimately to emancipate him. That is a davar shelo bal yolam, meaning you don't yet own him as a slave. And yet you're stipulating what you're going to do upon emancipation, or what you're going to do upon him, upon the purchase. Therefore, again, Rebbe says, you see here that you can make a tanai with a davar shelo bal yolam. Fine, so the Gemara says, hechi dami, so actually we should define it. What's the case? Amrav Nachar by Yitzchak, you go into Kosovlei, Likisha Ekachicha, Hari Atzmicha, Kanoi Lecha Me'achshav. What's the case over here? The case over here is where he writes for him, when I purchase you, you are acquired to yourself retroactively. So we'll say again, we see over here that we're dealing with a Davar Shalom Bali Olam, and yet, Rebbe says it works. Next case, Rabbi Meir, what's Rabbi Meir's situation? Meaning, where do we see Rabbi Meir says that you can be makne davar shel bal yolam? Disanya ha'omer le'isha hari at nekudesh asli la'achar shez gayer, la'achar shetiskari, la'achar sheshtach, la'achar shetishtachari. So we'll say, if a man says to a woman, become mekudesh to me after I convert, meaning right now he's a Gentile, or become mekudesh to me after you convert, right now he's a Gentile, or right now he's a servant. So he says, become mekudesh to me after I'm emancipated, or after you're emancipated. Or let's say she's married, and he says, become mekudesh to me after your husband dies, or after, I'm sorry, or after your sister dies. In other words, again, in this case, he's married to her sister. So he says to this woman, after your sister dies, become a kodesh to me. Or Or again, her husband died without children. And now Lemaisa, what, she's waiting for Yibum. So after your husband does, after the Yavam does Yibum with you, we'll say in all of these cases, Eina Mekudeshes. So we'll say in all of these cases, the woman is not Mekudeshes. So why? What's the Kam Niram there in all of these cases? It's a Davar Shalab Al Yolam. In all of these cases, again, the Tanai is regarding something that is not yet in existence. Rabbi Meir, Omer Rabbi Meir says Mekudeshes. So we'll say, you see, Rabbi Meir says that no, all of these cases, she is Mekudeshes. Why? Because again, Rabbi Meir says that a person could stipulate with even something that is a Davar Shalab Al Yolam. Rabbi Yochanan Asandar Omer, Eina Mekudeshes. Rabbi Yochanan Asandar says she's not Mekudeshes. Because again, Davar Shalab Al Yolam. Rabbi Yudan Asi Omer Mekudeshes. Rabbi Yudan Asi says she is Mekudeshes. Umat ham amru eina mikudeshes. Rabbi said, this is very interesting. So Rabbi Huda Hanasi says, she's mikudeshes in almost all of the cases. There are only two cases Rabbi Huda Hanasi says that she's not mikudeshes. And why is that? The two cases are, hari at mikudeshes li, kishe yamos ba'aleich, become mikudeshes when, right, become my wife when your husband dies, and or become mikudeshes when my wife, your sister, dies. So Rabbi Huda Hanasi Paskins in all of the other cases the Kiddushin works, even though it's a Davar Shalab Al Yolam, but not in these two cases. Why not? Says the Gemara, Mishum Eva. Ultimately, again, because of marital animosity. Look at Rashi, Mishum Eva. I will say, last wide line on the top of Rashi, Mishum Eva. Eva's Achosa, Ve'eva's Baila. The Eva, the animosity of her sister, and the animosity, ultimately, again, of her husband. The boss says, so you can imagine, if one goes ahead and stipulates such a tenai like this, this is not going to be very good for Shalom Bayis. Not going to be very good for Shalom Bayis. Therefore, again, although technically speaking, the tenai works, at the end of the day, ultimately, again, even though the Tanai works, because it's a, even though it's a Davar Shalab Al Yolam, and technically the Tanai works, at the end of the day, it will not allow it because of Eva, because of marital animosity. So says the Gemara, V'nachshov Nami, Rabbi Huda Hanasi. So now what we see over here is it's not just Rabbi Meir, and it's not just the ones that we mentioned before, Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov and Rebbe, who all hold that you could be Masna on a Davar Shalab Al Yolam, but it's Rebbe also, to which the Gemara says, Hainu Rebbe, Hainu Rabbi Huda Hanasi. To which the Gemara answers, well, Rebbe and Rabbi Huda Hanasi are the same person, so indeed, when the Gemara said before, when Abaye said before, that Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov, Rabbi Meir, all hold that a person can be masna on a davar shalab al olam, so that included Rebbe as well. So Rabbi says, so what we see over here is, there's this whole group of individuals who hold that a person could stipulate regarding a davar shalab al olam, something that is not yet in existence. And Rebbe just has an exception in two of the cases, because he's concerned that they'll cause shalom bayis problems. Meaning, if somebody affects Kiddushin that's predicated on the death of a spouse, ultimately that's going to create problems in their current marriage. Therefore, Rebbe says that case should not work. So also, before we go weiter, our shir this morning is dedicated by Michael and Rachel Leibowitz and family commemoration of the yard site of Michael's mother, Ruth Leibowitz, Rus Bas Harav Avi Ezri Avram. We hope that on the merit of our Talmud Torah, our Neshama will have an aliyah, family in Nechama. Shkoyach, thank you for the sponsorship. Says the Gemara, so why don't we include Rabbi Akiva also in the list of people who hold that you could stipulate regarding a davar shalab al olam? So says the Gemara Desanya, because listen to this case. Remember again, he will say this takes us back to our Nedarim days. A woman essentially says, I make a neder prohibiting my earnings to you. You may not get any benefit from my earnings. That's Masa Yadai. Right? Konim, Shani, Osa, anything I produced, you cannot get benefit from. So the halacha is, Ein Tzarech Lahafer. So the husband does not have to annul the vow. So why doesn't he have to annul the vow? Because that vow runs contrary to an entitlement that is already his. A husband is entitled to his wife's earnings. We're supposed to remember again, we saw this in our Ksuvah days. That's granted to him because he has an obligation to support her. So it's like a quid pro quo, and because he has to support her, he gets her earnings. Therefore, if she makes a neder preventing him from benefiting from something that the rabbis gave him, so that neder ultimately, again, is totally ineffective. So says the Gemara, Rabbi Kiva says, Yafer. Rabbi Kiva says, no, you shouldn't know the neder. Why? Shemata'adif alav yasra min haroilo. Oh, because we also listen to this. Because Lamaisa, as much as the neder does not work for her, what we'll call core earnings. Remember, again, in Ksuvis, we quantified the amount of money she's obligated to, quote-unquote, bring into the home. But Lamai says something called Hadafa. Hadafa means additional money she brings in. But let's say additional money she brings in is hers. So, for example, let's say, for argument's sake, that the rabbinic allotment for what she's supposed to bring in is $500 a month, for argument's sake. So, therefore, the husband, because he gives her mezonos, is entitled to keep that $500 a month. Let's say she brings in $1,500 a month. So remember again, that extra $1,000 the husband doesn't have rights in. So Rabbi Akiva says, if a woman makes a neder, saying to her husband, I'm making a neder, you cannot get any benefit from my earnings. So everyone says that neder is void, because husband's entitled to her earnings anyway. Rabbi Akiva, and therefore no need for the husband to annul the neder. Rabbi Akiva says, no, annul the neder. Why? Because as much as the neder does not devolve upon the core earnings, if she earns extra money, he will be precluded from deriving any benefit from that extra money because of the power of the neder. But Rabbi Akiva, so what do you see from here? Remember again, what do you see from here? Now those extra earnings, Rabbi Akiva, what's their status? What's their status? It's a davar shelo bali olam. It's not yet here. Yet, Rabbi Akiva holds that her neder could potentially devolve upon something that may only come about at a future date. So what do you see from here? You see from here that Lamaise, even Rabbi Akiva agrees that you can make it tonight on a davar shelo bali olam. So why isn't he included in that list of distinguished rabbis? To which the Gemara says, Amar Rav Huna Bar Yoshua, Bomerasi Kachriyoda Leosehem, the Adaim Isnu Bolam. Oh, because we actually saw this. Because what's the case over here? She's not making a neder on the earnings of us. So what is she making a neder on? Her hands. What she's saying is, Yikachu Yadai Lo Sehem. These hands, what they generate, ultimately again should be hektish, should be precluded from being should not be able to be used by my husband. So in this case over here, she's not making a neder and attaching the neder ultimately to what? To the earnings, but rather what is she attaching it to? She's attaching it to her hands, and her hands are what? Her hands are a davar sheba li'olam. Her hands are something that are in existence, and therefore the mice, again, the neder would work with divrei hakol. So we close out this sugya with a fundamental machlokes as to whether or not one could go ahead and legislate, or one could go ahead and make it tonight regarding a davar shelo boli olam. Just in the case of kiddushin, by the way, in the case of kiddushin, so ultimately, again, it appears that a man cannot go ahead and make a neder regarding, or make a tonight regarding a davar shelo boli olam. But again, that principle will not necessarily go ahead and apply equally in all areas of halacha. It's an ongoing machlokas, and again, the shitos, as they are applied, depend on the particular area of halacha. But again, just know that this is a yisodistic, one of the fundamental machloksim that we find throughout Shas. Says the Mishnah, Ha'omer le'ishar mikudesh le'menah she'adar alech le'shilton. A man says to a woman, become mikudesh to me on the condition that I will speak to the ruler on your behalf. So what he says is, I'm going to put in a good word to the governor, to the ruler on your behalf. So become mikudesh to me on the condition that I will speak to the ruler on your behalf. Or ve'es se'imach kipoel. So, or he says to her, become mikudesh to me on the condition that I'm going to work for you for a day. I'm gonna be a laborer for you for a day. So what's Talach Rabbo say? So Dibra Alad Shulton, if he spoke on her behalf to the ruler, or Va'asim Kipal, or he worked for her, meaning he performed a day of labor for her, then what? Then Mikudeshas. Then indeed she's Mikudesh. So it seems to be a pretty straightforward Mishnah. He made it tonight. If he fulfills the tonight, she's Mikudeshas. V'imlav. If he doesn't fulfill the tonight, ain't Mikudeshas. She's not Mikudeshas. Fine. Amareish Lakish. So Reish Lakish, Sa'ari and Reish Lakish both say that what? That, what's the case? The case has to be where he must have given her money. He must have given her money. Meaning, again, so what's happening over here is, he says to her, Hari'at mikudesh esli, right, and he gives her a pruta, al minas sha'adabra alech le'sholton. So meaning what he does is, there's money that's exchanged right now, but I will say that money is not effective as kesef kiddushin until when? Until he fulfills his tenai, the condition. Look at Rashi. V'husha nasan l'pruta. V'amr lo hiskach li b'pruta zu. He says to her, become mikudesh esli with this pruta. Al minas, on the condition, and fill in the blank, whatever the condition is. V'ha'asa l'shma'la shmina tana didan, de b'schar dibor, o b'schar p'ula, Lo mikadsha. Now, when Rish Lakish says this, what Rish Lakish is trying to say is the following. Both saying, now, one would have thought, you see, before you look at Rish Lakish, you would have assumed that there's no money changing hands. So what's the consideration with which she is being mikudeshes? There's a value in speaking to the ruler, right? There's a value. There's a value in having that access. There's a value if somebody's going to do a day of labor for you. So the Havamina was that she's being Mikudesha, he's being Mikadish her with the value of that service, or the value of the service. Kamashon says Reish Lakish, no. He's being Mikadish her with a Pruta. It's just that he's attaching an additional Tanai to the Kiddush, and obviously the Kiddush will not be valid unless he fulfills the Tanai. So the Gemara says, Ubischarlo, I don't understand, why can't he be Mikadish her with the value of the service? Vahatanya, we learned. If a man says to a woman, become mikudeshes to me with the value of the donkey ride I gave you, or with the value of the carriage ride or the boat ride that I gave you, the halacha is ultimately again, she's not mikudesh. So what's the reason for that? Look at Rashi, shekhafticha, kvar. So ultimately, again, this already happened. Kvar neschaibalo, vavi milva gaba. Or I will say, this takes us back to our previous sugya. Because if he says to her, you know, I gave you that taxi ride. You know, that taxi ride was $20. I didn't charge you. So become mikudeshes to me, ultimately, again, with the value of the taxi ride. So you can't do that. Why? I will say, we learned this. Why? Because that's a debt. That's a debt, and therefore it's a loan, and you can't be mekadesh woman with a halva, with a loan. Fine, so that we already learned. However, listen to this, first wide line. Bischar shar kivcha ala chamor, sho shivcha bekarn o besvina mikudeshes. It will say, if he says to her, become mikudeshes to me with the value of the donkey ride, I will give you the wagon ride, I will give you the carriage ride, I will give you, then what? She is mikudeshes. Why, Abosai? Because again, in that case, what's the halacha? That there's a service that is going to be provided. So you see from here, it's not a debt. So you see from here that you can be mekadesh a woman with the value of a service. So maybe you'll say the case over here is also where he's giving her a pruta in addition ultimately to performing the service. I mean, it's the pruta that's affecting the value of the kiddushin, but it's the service ultimately, again, that's a tenai. So to which the Gemara says, it doesn't make sense. Why? Because we'll say the wording of the Braisa is where the man says to her, become mikudeshes to me bischar. Become mikudeshes to me with the value of the service that I am about to perform. Va'otanya. Furthermore, we learned, shavi mi bitzavsa. If a woman says, sit with me and be my companion, va'ekadesh lecha, and I'll become mikudeshes to me as well. So let's say she says, look, I don't want to sit alone. I don't like sitting alone. So if you sit with me and become my companion, so I'll become mikudeshes to you with the value of the companionship. I guess you could hire a friend otherwise, right? You could pay someone to come and sit with you. So there's a value to that companionship. So sit with me and I'll become mikudeshes. This is her talking. I will become mikudeshes to you with the value of the companionship. Or schok lafanai, make me laugh, right? Juggle or do something that makes me laugh, and the value of that service, I'll become mikudeshes to you. Rekod lefanai, dance in front of me. Right? So if you dance in front of me, again, the value of that service, I'll become mikudeshes to you. Asei kedimos hazeh, or build something for me. Asei kedimos literally means make this structure for me. In other words, build something for me. And with the value of that, I'll become mikudeshes. So what do we say? In all of these cases, shaman, we evaluate the service that is being provided. If the service being provided, it has a pruta's value, then mikudeshes, then she's mikudeshes. And if not, she's not mikudeshes. So I'll say, so what do you see from here? You see from here that lamaisa, it certainly seems like you can be mikadesh woman with what? With a service, with the value of a service. So maybe you'll say, no, the case over is also where he's giving her a pruta in addition to the service. That doesn't work. That doesn't make sense. Why? Remember, if all we're doing is attaching a tnai and he's giving her a pruta, then what, Rabosai? Then what? Then the value of the service is totally inconsequential. Because it's not the value of the service that's affecting Kiddushin, it's the pruta that's affecting Kiddushin, and the service is a tnai. Then why does the Braisa have to say that we have to evaluate the service? To which the Gemara says, Tiyufta de Reish Lakish. Indeed, Rabosai, this entire discussion would be a refutation of Reish Lakish. And therefore, again, in fact, bless you. In fact, you can go ahead and be mekadesh a woman with the value of a service, and you don't need the pruta. Amar lecha Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish says, no, Rabosai. Reish Lakish says two different tanoim. There are two different authors. Hai Tanabura. this outside Tana, which Rabbah says the Tana of the Braisa. The Braisa is the series of teachings, the Braisa series of teachings that seem to indicate to us that you can be Mekadesh a woman with the value of a service. So that Tana holds. Listen to Rabbah says, he's going to take us back. Eino v'schiros el l'basof. Rabbah says, do you remember again we spoke about this idea? We spoke about the idea that when you hire someone to do work, so how do you view payment for that service? Remember again, we saw this fundamental machlokas. The machlokas is yeshna l'schiros metchila v'atzof or eino l'schiros metchila v'atzof. So Rabbah says, so what's that? What does that machlokas mean? If you hold yeshna l'schiros metchila v'atzof, that means Rabbah says what? If I hire someone to build me a house, so what's the halacha? The halacha says every day he works, I owe him some money. So that's what Yeshna Skrim is saying. Meaning every single thing he does, there's a debt that's owed. Eino l'schiros mitchila v'atzof means what? No. I owe him when? At the conclusion of the project. So also we spoke about, again, from a Choshen Mishpat perspective, there's a major nafkamina. What's the major nafkamina? Right? My contractor bails out mid-project. Am I obligated to pay him for the work that he's done or not? If you hold yeshna l'schiros mitchila v'atzof, means the guy's a bum that he bailed out in the middle, but at the end of the day, he did work, and I owe him the money for the work done. If you hold eino l'schiros el l'basof, that means, no. The arrangement is not that I pay you incrementally, I pay you for a finished product. So watch this, what's the nafkamina over here? If you hold yeshna l'schiros mitchila v'atzof, that means that there is an incremental accrual of debt for services rendered. If that's the case, you cannot be mekadesh a woman with services rendered. Why? Because it's effectively being mekadesh with a debt, with a loan, which you cannot do. If, on the other hand, you hold yet eino l'schiros el l'basof, you only owe someone money for a service at the end, then Rabbah will say, what? That is not a debt. And therefore, again, that service can be used to affect Kiddushin. So says the Gemara over here, the Tana of the Braisa holds, eino l'schiros el l'basof. That Rabbah will say, you only owe your laborer money when? At the end of the project. Therefore, again, there's no debt accrual. So because there's no debt accrual, it's not considered to be mekadesh with a milveh. That's why the Tana of the Braisa holds that you can be mekadesh woman with a service. Rabbah will say, again, not a service that's already been rendered, right? Why? Why? Because that'll be a debt, but a service that will be rendered. You can be mekadesh ultimately again with the value of that service. So, however, v'tana didan, but the time of our Mishnah holds yeshna l'schiros mitchila v'atzof. However, again, also listen to this: the time of our Brice of the Mishnah holds that no, there is an incremental accrual of debt. Bless you. When somebody does a service for you, therefore you can't be mekadesh a woman with a service because that's the equivalent to being mekadesh with a debt. And that will not work. Therefore, again, Reish Lakish has to set up our Mishnah as what? Where the man is giving her a pruta. It's the pruta that's affecting the value part of the Kiddushin. And the service piece is simply an additional tanai. So says the Gemara, this is actually amazing. So why does Reish Lakish feel compelled to set up the Mishnah like this? Meaning, you could have just as easily said what? That the Mishnah is also going in line with the opinion that says, eino l'schiros mitchila v'atzof. Right? That there's no debt accrual by services rendered. And therefore, again, there is no pruta. Why does Reish Lakish feel compelled to set up the Mishnah like this? To which the Gemara says, Amarava masnisin keshise. Because at the end of the day, the wording of the Mishnah is problematic or is difficult. My area detani almenas. Because why is it that the husband says, that the man says, become mikudeshes to me almenas, that I'll speak to the shulton, on the condition? Why didn't he just say, nisni bischar? I'll say, right, it's a good kasha. Meaning, if we're talking about the fact that the conditions in the Mishnah, that his intention is to be mekadesher with the value of these services, then the proper verbiage of Osai is not becoming kudeshes to me on the condition that I speak to the ruler on your behalf, or on condition that I be your laborer for a day. What should it have said? Becoming kudeshes to me with the exchange, with the value of this service. But the fact that the Mishnah does not say the value of this service says, almenas, elishmamina, call almenas, hecha diyavlahu. Because say, the lashon of almenas is where what? Reish Lakish understands it to be, he's given her an item of value, right? I.e. a pruta, and he's attaching a supplemental tanai. That's where Reish Lakish feels compelled to set up the Mishnah in the way that he did. Says the Mishnah, almenas yirtza abba. So we'll listen to this. A man is a kaddish woman, and he says to her, hari at nekudeshes li, on the condition that my father approves of this union. Right? Very traditional. And the condition that my father approves of the union. We'll say, this is the father of the guy, the father of the man. So if the father says, good shidduch, then she's mikudeshes. If the father doesn't like the shidduch, in a mikudeshes. So she's not mikudeshes. On the other, we're supposed to listen to this. May sa'av. Let's say now the father dies before he's able to indicate his approval one way or the other. Harezu mikudeshes. Ultimately, again, she's mikudeshes. So we'll say what it sounds like over here is that what? Because we assume parental approval. Right, or I should say, we assume paternal approval. We assume the father approves. Meisabein, Abba said, this is an amazing case. Let's say in this case over here, watch this. Reuven says to Rachel, Hariat Mikudesh, on the condition that my father approves of the marriage. And then what happens? Reuven dies. So Abba says, what do we do in that case? Melamdin ha'av lomar she'ino rotze. We coax the father to say, you know, I never wanted this union. Why, Abba said, why do we do that? Because if he does that, then retroactively the kiddushin is void, which means she's able to bypass yibum. If on the other hand the father were to say, "Oh, I always liked you. You would have been such a wonderful wife for my son," then what's Rabbi say? It turns out that she's an almana and subject to yibum. So therefore, in that case, in order for her to avoid yibum, we coax the father to say, "I never really liked you." So says the Gemara. I mean, not you don't have to use that lashon, right? But you understand. So says the Gemara. My almanash here to Abba. So I'll say. So what does this mean? What does this mean ultimately again on the condition that my father wanted the kiddushin? So the Gemara is really asking is how does paternal consent express itself? How does it manifest? Right? What does it look like? So says the Gemara, Ilema Ada Amar Abba in. So if you want to say we require the father to actively voice his consent, yes, I want you to marry this girl. Then here's the problem. Ema mitziyasa, look at the middle case of the Mishnah. Meisa'av harayzim mikudeshes. That can't be Rabbosei. Because what was the second case of the Mishnah? If the father dies before being able to say anything, Rabbosei, what did the Mishnah paskin? Mishnah paskin, she's mikudeshes. Now, Rabbosei, now, vahalo amar in. Now, if you say that paternal consent requires that the father actively articulates that he wants the marriage, then what's Rabbosei? In the case of where the father died before being able to voice his consent or dissent with the marriage, what should be the halacha? The halacha should be that she's not mikudeshes. Yet the Mishnah said she is. Ella, Amadeus. Ella, Amanashi, Yishtokava. Rather, listen to what we'll say. Then what the man says is, become a Kodeshes to me on the condition that my father doesn't say anything. I was about to say that we interpret paternal consent to be the absence of paternal
dissent.
Right. Oh, so. Sorry, two for two today. Right? So we interpret paternal consent to be the absence of paternal dissent. So says the Gemara, Ema Seifa, but here's the problem with that. Meis Habein, remember the third case in the Mishnah was, the son dies, Melam Dines Ha'av Lomar Sheino Rotze. So we go ahead and we coax the father to say that he did not want this union. But why do we need that? V'amai, V'hashasik. Ultimately, again, Rabosai, ultimately, he was quiet. Now, both say, now, if we say that paternal silence is paternal acquiescence, then once the father has been quiet, then what? The kiddushin is good. Meaning, say, if the son subsequently dies, the fact that we're going to teach the father to go ahead and what? Now, retroactively object shouldn't do anything. Once he's been silent, he's acquiesced to the union. She's mikudeshes. Nebuch, the husband died. She's now subject to yibum. Ela Amar, excuse me, says the Gemara, Ela Amar la. Rather, again, it must be that what? It must be that he's saying to her, become mikudeshes to me, on the condition that my father does not object to the kiddushin. To which the Gemara essentially says, so the Gemara says, Reisha b'chataima, mitziasa b'seva b'chataima. So we'll say now, the way you're interpreting the Mishnah is essentially, it's three different cases in the Mishnah, really two different cases. The Reisha has its own mitzias, and the Seif has its own mitzias. To which the Gemara says, Amra b'Amra b'yanai in. Abiyana says, yes, it's different cases. Amrei Shlakish, Shmat Naroz Rabosai. We're interpreting each phrase of the Mishnah with a different Metzias. We're interpreting the Tanai differently for each of the cases of the Mishnah. Amrei Shlakish, Shmat Naroz Rabiyana. You see from Rabiyana, Dechakinon umok minon masnisim betrei taima. Valiba dechatana. Below mukminon betrei tanoi ubechataima. Rabosai is actually very interesting. So Shlakish says, you see that based on this, that we would rather create different cases within one Mishnah, but allow the Mishnah to be reflective of two of one opinion, than to go ahead and align the Mishnah with Right. We would rather have different cases in the Mishnah. We'd rather interpret the Reisha, the Metzias of the middle case, and the Seifa differently, but allow the Mishnah to reflect one coherent view than to align all of the cases, but have the Mishnah reflect two different opinions. So the Gemara is, below Mokmin on our trade tonight, Bechataima. So we'll say, this, by the way, is actually something very interesting. What Reish Lakish is, what Reish Lakish is highlighting of Yerubo say is, you see that we would rather minimize Machlokis in the Mishnah by interpreting different cases, different cases differently, but aligning them with one opinion, then with introducing multiple opinions into one Mishnah, even if that allows you to align the cases a little bit better. Okay, it's just a stylistic issue. So it says the Gemara, Rav Yosef bar Ami Amar, the Olam Chataimu. Rav Yosef bar Ami says, no, in reality, all the cases in the Mishnah reflect one opinion. Umay al Menashe Yer Tzaba. So what's the case? Also, when we see on the condition that my father doesn't want it, so we'll say, the way ultimately Rav Yosef sets up the case, is the case is where a man says to his wife, become a Kodesh to me, or to a woman, become a Kodesh to me on the condition that my father does not object from now until 30 days. And we'll say, now how does that solve the problems of the Mishnah? Look at Rashi. Now in this case, the husband is establishing a window for parental objection. 30 days. Hilchach. Therefore, I will say, if the father wants the kiddushin and doesn't object within 30 days, the kiddushin is good. Lo ratza. So I will say, so the case of where the father wants the kiddushin, that's a case of where what? He does not voice any objection within 30 days. What's the case of lo ratza? The case of lo ratza, where the father didn't want it, is shemichatoch shloshim. Ultimately, again, that's where he objects in 30 days. Eina mikudeshes. Meisa'a b'soch shloshim. I will say, what happens if the father dies within 30 days? Mikudeshes. Then ultimately, again, she's mikudeshes. Why? Tarminon zu man machi. Because I will say, once he dies, then what? There's no one left to object. Meisa'a b'in b'soch shloshim. If the son dies within 30 days, then what? Malamdin esa'av. We coax the father to go in and say that he didn't want this union. So we'll say, so therefore again, Rav Yosef bar Ami says, by the way, there is a way to interpret all of the cases all in the same way, which is a situation where he's saying, becoming Kodeshas to me on the condition that my father does not object to this union within 30 days. Ultimately, again, if you set up the Mishnah that way, all cases could be understood through that lens. Says the Mishnah, Kiddash Tzpiti V'Neodialmi Kiddash Tiyah. So let's listen to this case. You want to talk about problems, right? Coming home and telling your wife something. So, right, I was Mekadesh our daughter, Mazel Tov, but I don't remember to who, right? Fathers sometimes are just not attentive to the details. It's just, right? So I was Mekadesh my daughter, right? I was Mekadesh our daughter, but I don't remember to who. So I, you know, I'll say in this case, I know for sure I accepted Kiddushin on her behalf. I just don't remember who. Uba echad v'omar ni kiddashtiyah. Then a guy knocks on the door and says, oh, right, hey dad, right, I was the one ultimately again who was Makadesher. So Ne'eman. So once I listen to this, the guy who shows up and says, well, Makadesher is believed. Okay, again, we're going to discuss the parameters of this, obviously. Ze Amar Ani Kiddashtiyah. The Ze Amar Ani Kiddashtiyah. So let's say two guys show up and they both say, I was the one who went ahead and was Mekadesher. I was one who was Mekadesher. What's the halacha? Shnehem nosnin get. And both say the halacha is both of them must give her a get. Both of them must give her a get. Rashi says, latir lachem, permitted to others. Vimratza echad nosnin get ve'echad kones. But you could also, one of them could marry her, and one of them could give her a get. Fine. So says the Gemara, Amarav, ne'eman litein get. Ve'in ne'eman lichnos. So Moshe Israel comes back and says the following. When we said, the first case in the Mishnah, a father says, I was Makadesh my daughter, but I don't remember to who. So remember the Mishnah said that if one guy shows up and says, I was the one who was Makadesh, he is ne'eman, he's believed. So Rav says he's believed to give her a get, but he's not believed ultimately to what? To actually live with her, to marry her. On the other hand, so the Gemara says, why? Because we'll say, again, there's no reason for us to assume that he's lying. Meaning, if he's just showing up to give her a get, why would he be lying about that? He has no benefit in that. But he is not believed to marry her. Why? Because we'll say, let's say it turns out that's what? She's a beautiful girl. So he has an opportunity now, again, to live with a beautiful girl. So there he has an incentive to lie. So therefore, Rav says, when we say that he's Neman, when he shows up and says, hey, I'm the guy, that's only to give her a get, but it's not ultimately again to live with her. Rav Asi says, no, Af Neman Lichnos. Rav Asi says, no, he's even believed ultimately to say that I am the husband and to actually live with her. And what's the chab over here? Look at Rashi. Af Neman Lichnos. Listen to this, because Rav Asi will say, Dilochatzif Lenemar Lifneha Av Shekibel Hakidushin Anihu Demirsas Dilma Machishle Va'amar Yedana Dilav At Yahavis Likidushin. So let's listen to this. Remember, the case over here is where the father had contact with the chassan. He just forgot. So says Rav Asi, a guy is not going to show up and lie that he was the chassan if he's really not. Why? Because there's a mirsas, there's a fear. Abosai, remember again, what's the fear? That the father could say, you're not the guy. Meaning, I forgot who the guy was, but I know that you're not him. In other words, that there's an assumption that there'll be some level of facial recognition over here. Or at least, again, so somebody's not... See, Abosai, people lie. People lie all the time. But when do people lie? When they assume they're not going to get caught. If there's a high probability of getting caught, normal people don't lie. Therefore, if the guy is not the guy who gave her kiddushin, he knows about say he's going to have to face the shver, right? And if you have to face the shver, if you have to face the father-in-law, and you're a liar, and he's going to call you out on that lie, there's a mirsas, there's a fear. Therefore, Rav Asi says, if a guy is showing up and is willing to confront the father-in-law and say, I'm the guy who was mekadesher, we believe him, because we assume normal people would not lie under those circumstances. Umod Rav Asi agrees. He's Moda, Bomeris Niskachi, Vinyodes Luminiskachi. But listen to this. Rav Asi agrees, in the case of Osev, where she says that I became Mikudeshes, this is where the girl is accepting Kiddushin on her own behalf. And she says what? But I don't remember to whom I was Mikudeshes. So this is where she accepted Kiddushin. I don't remember who I was Mikudeshes to. Uba Acher Va'amar Kiddashtia. And a guy shows up and says, I'm the guy. She'in Ne'eman Lichnos. That Rav Asi ultimately, again, in that case, so he is not believed to marry her. Rav Asi, we'll see why in that case, ultimately, again, he's not believed to marry her. So Tanan. Ratzu echad nosin get ve'echad konis. So we learned in the Mishnah that when two guys show up and say we were the ones from Mekadishur, so one of them gives her a get and one of them can marry her. To yufta d'rav. So we'll say ultimately again, this would be a refutation of Rav, because Rav said that no one is permitted to marry her just to give her a get. Yeah, we see in this case over here, one in fact is permitted, is believed ultimately again to marry her. Rav will say that case is different, right, Abosai? Because since there are two people showing up, they will be concerned to lie in each other's presence. Therefore, ultimately, again, we lend credence to their statement in this situation, and we will allow, ultimately, again, one of them to marry her. Tanya Kavasi Dravasi, who has a Bryce that supports Dravasi, Kidashti Espiti Vene Adelmi Kidashtiya. So the Bryce says, I was Mekadeshra, I don't remember Tuma was Mekadeshra. Uba Echad Vamer Kidashtiya. And another one comes along and says, I was the guy as Mekadeshra. Af Ne'eman Lichnos. Ultimately, again, he is believed even to go ahead and marry her. So we'll say this supports Rav Asi. Rav Asi says that when we say we believe him when he shows up, that what? Not just to give her a get, but to actually marry her. Kinsa, but if they get married, Uba Echad Va'amar Ani Kidashtia, and another guy comes along and says, no, I was the one who was Mekadesher. Lo Kolheimena La Osra Alav. Ultimately, again, we'll say what? We do not believe the second guy, ultimately, to prohibit her to her first, to her husband. However, Ha'isha Shamar Niskachi Vinei Odeh Alamin Niskachi. But if a woman comes along and says, I was Mekudeshes, I accepted Kiddushin, but I don't know to whom. Uba Echad Va'amrani Kiddashti. And a guy shows up and says, I'm your husband, I'm the guy who accepted the Kiddushin. Ein Ne'eman Lichnos. We do not believe him. Why? Mipneshi Mechapa Alav. Because we'll say, see, in this case, what we're really concerned about is what Rabbi say. We're concerned about the fact that potentially she's going to cover for him, meaning she's embarrassed. She's embarrassed, ultimately, again, that she does not remember whom she became Mekudeshes to. So we're concerned that when a guy shows up and says, I'm the guy, she's going to say what? Okay, right? And therefore, again, there's no mirsis because there's no dealing with the father-in-law. Why is there no dealing with the father-in-law? Because in this case, she accepted Kiddushin on her own. Therefore, again, in this case, because we're concerned that she's going to just say yes to the first guy that comes, we do not believe the suitor when he shows up. So we'll say, we'll stop over here for today. I want to share with you an idea on the parasha. So remember, again, so we're stopping here, but the idea, we're still stuck in the midst of this machlokes. There is a ne'emanos, so ultimately, again, we believe the guy when he shows up and says, I'm the guy who's Mekadesh you, but the shaila is, what's the scope of that ne'emanos? Does that ne'emanos just allow him to give her a get? Or does the ne'emanos ultimately, again, even allow him to marry her? Machlokes between Rav and Rav Hasi, and we'll continue that machlokes tomorrow. So we'll say just a short thought on the parsha.